We are pleased in this hour of the show. Welcome back, friend of ours, Rich Warren, writes about consumer electronics for some national publications for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. And every once in a while, he's here on the program and talks about what is new in the way of mostly audio and video, things like TVs and DVDs and CDs and so forth. And it's been a while since he's been here, so we're pleased to have him back. And if you have questions now, this could be the time of year when people are thinking about heading out to the store and buying some new piece of equipment. And no doubt if you've been out to one of the big box stores or even a store that specializes in audio and video equipment, you've seen all manner of choices, and it can be very confusing. So if you have specific questions about, you know, what really do I look for in a particular piece of equipment, I know Rich can do that. Maybe there'll be some, he usually has a few things he wants to talk about here at the beginning in terms of, you know, what's new with all of these various pieces of equipment. And any and all sorts of questions are welcome. If you heard the show before, you know the kind of things that he can talk about. 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana and toll free. 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's great to be here. You know, it's an explosion of electronics out there in that ever since we went digital, everything is digital now, basically. And so everything can be interconnected digitally. And it's a fascinating array of things that permit this to happen. So now, instead of going out and buying a stereo receiver or a CD changer for your home, you buy a CD server. And then you buy a stereo receiver that's a network hub. And you connect all this stuff, and you can run either Wi-Fi, wireless, or basically Ethernet wiring throughout your house and have your stereo feeding every room, where it used to be all these analog cables and speaker wires and the chances of getting noise and distortion into it. It's a whole new world out there, and it's absolutely frightening trying to keep up with it all, because every day I receive a new press release that this company has this internet hub stereo receiver. And the other thing that most people don't seem to realize is that you now can consider your computer, doesn't matter whether you have a Macintosh or a PC or whatever, as a stereo component. That is, people keep thinking, okay, I got the sound card and the computer, now I got to go out and buy some computer speakers. Stop. Sound card, yes. Computer speakers, no. Why not simply connect your computer to a decent stereo receiver or multi-channel receiver if you have a multi-channel sound card, and then connect good high-fidelity speakers, not those cheesy little computer speakers. Even the best computer speakers generally don't compare to decent high-fidelity stereo speakers that you'd provide with a home theater system or with an audio system. And a lot of companies, every company out there, from the little Bose Jewel Cubes on up to some of the B&W Leisure monitors and everything in between, that make nice small speakers that can be used as computer speakers that sound worlds better than most of those computer speakers out there. And all you need is a regular old-fashioned, either a stereo amp if you just want two channels, or a multi-channel amplifier coming off your sound card. Of course, you want a good sound card in your computer, and those have improved dramatically in the past couple of years. But you don't have to settle for second-rate sound from your PC, because if the sound going into the PC, whether it's coming from a high bitrate MP3 or for a full WAV file or whatever, sounds every bit as good as a CD player generally. So you might as well reproduce it like you're reproducing a CD. So these are some of the things that are happening. Other readers have sent in emails questioning what the heck is happening with HDTV here in town. I think the last time I was on was about HDTV. And I know WILL-TV aimed for November and now shooting for February. It's a real can of worms, both technically and economically, for the stations. Raising the money to go HD is very expensive. And then technically getting everything in order to make it happen is another whole, like with WILL-TV, they have to have the microwave link capable of shooting the signal from the studios here out to the transmitter. That's another whole complicated facet of the studio engineering part that the public doesn't see. I called all the local TV stations. Only one is actually broadcasting in HD, and that's Channel 17 from Decatur WAND, actually is transmitting in progressive scan 720p HD most of its programming. And what isn't provided from the network as HD, they are up converting to HD. It doesn't look as good as HD, but at least it's somewhat better than traditional analog picture quality. The other stations, basically, other than WILL, told me that they are owned by large corporate conglomerates, and they can't convert till the corporate conglomerate, based wherever they happen to be, decide that all the stations in the chain are going to convert. It's all or nothing, basically. So Channel 15 at least has a goal. They told me the company is moving toward that. Channel 3 told me they have no idea. The company has made no commitment to high-definition broadcasting, even though they are using their digital channel, but they're simply broadcasting a digital signal, which is not much better than the analog signal of basic channel 3. So that's what's happening in high definition these days. Your best bet, if you really want high definition, is to subscribe to one of the two satellite networks, either Dish Network or DirecTV. Each of them has about five HD channels, full-time HD channels, including movies on demand, basically HD movies and lots of sports, tons of sports in HD. And there's a home box office and a Showtime channel in HD. So those are your best options if you want high definition. And Dish Network now makes a satellite receiver that also has an HD hard drive recorder. It's kind of expensive, but it's best like a TiVo for hard, you know, for high definition. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the way to go at this point. And next year there will be HD DVDs on the market. And of course, I was amazed, you know, the price of DVD players is now down to about $30 at certain chain stores or using them as loss leaders, which just shocked the heck out of me to see those kind of pricing, considering the first DVD player not so long ago was $1,000. So somebody just asked me, well, I'm about to buy a DVD recorder. Should I wait another year? Will the price go down? I said, well, yeah, you should wait. I mean, you could wait another year, but then you use a whole year of recording you don't get to do just because the price is going to go down. Yeah, DVD recorders will be down to about $150, maybe less, in another year or two. And then, of course, we'll have the HD DVD recorders, which will come in at $1,000 and be down to $399 in a year or two. So it's an endless cycle of electronics that these prices, these high-tech equipment comes out and then starts its downhill slide. And as long as the Chinese are willing to work for free and use slave labor, I think the prices will continue to fall. And that's basically what's happening. I mean, companies that moved their factories to Mexico 5 or 10 years ago are now moving the Mexican factories to China because the labor is cheaper, so the prices keep going down. I might say there's a Chinese company called Apex that sells the most inexpensive gear you can conceive of. And basically they do no research and development. They basically copy other companies' circuits that are in the public domain or that are not, you know, trademarked or copyrighted or whatever you call it. And they do no advertising. They do very little marketing. And they sell strictly on the benefit of price. So you can buy them at drugstores and at big chain stores. And the stuff works initially, but it's the cheapest stuff under the sun. And when you buy it, you're basically saying to the industry, we don't want any more innovation. We don't want any more research and development. We just want cheap stuff. So you got to remember when you buy something that if you're not buying something with a brand name that you recognize, you may be getting a good value initially, but you're not helping the industry move forward in developing new equipment and new technologies. Because the companies like Sony and Panasonic don't have any incentive to keep creating this stuff. They'll go on to making, you know, computer games and video games. And it, of course, the other big thing this year, and I think the most wonderful thing of all, is liquid crystal displays, LCDs, are coming down in price. They're getting bigger and less expensive, and I just love LCDs. It's a technology I prefer to plasma for a number of reasons, although it has some artifacts and fast motion scenes and things, but generally, LCDs, if they're built right, should last just about forever. You may have to replace the light bulbs that illuminate them, but the panel itself, if not mistreated, should last, you know, for nearly forever. So it has some great benefits, and I love the flat screen and the shallow depth, and it's great to have around the house. You know, if you want to, my mother called me yesterday and says, I see these little flat TVs. It'd be great in my kitchen, wouldn't it? You know, I mean, it's getting around that you can just, you know, put on the wall of the kitchen and say, but Mom, you still need that cable connection or an antenna. It doesn't work by itself. Just, oh, you mean I got to snake that wire up the wall to it? I said, yep, if there's no cable jack right behind it, you still need to connect the cable. So just remember, when you buy a flat-screen TV, whether it's plasma or LCD, you still have to make sure that you can provide a signal to it, other than if you're using a DVD player or something. Mm-hmm. But if you want to watch TV, you still need that cable connection.
Well, if you got questions on any of that or anything else that has to do with audio and video, this morning's the time to call in. Rich Warren is here. He writes about all of this for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette, and also has contributed to some of the nationally published available audio video publications. And he's here occasionally, and we talk about this stuff and give you the chance to ask questions. We have some people ready to go. First up, someone calling from Carphone, so we'll get right to them. Line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
You just were talking about DVD recorders, and I was wondering what I ought to look for in a DVD recorder.
Well, at this point, a number of companies are now making universal DVD recorders, that is, they record in all the different DVD systems. And I think that's the way to go. Not that it's that critical. First of all, if you're only recording record once discs, like if you're transferring all your camcorder tapes to DVD, it really doesn't matter which system. They're both about equally compatible these days with set-top players. I mean, your regular DVD players that sit on your TV set. If you're doing re-recordable discs, the RW discs, then it's nice to have the universal recorder because it gives you your choice of formats. Each one has benefits over the other that they're not significant. But more and more of these are coming out. The premium is only about $25 to have a universal unit that records DVD plus RW and DVD hyphen RW. And with Panasonic, maybe even DVD RAM, which is a format you wouldn't want to use for preserving your camcorder tapes, but is a great format for recording TV shows because it gives you random access like a hard drive. So that's what you should be looking for. And the lowest price isn't necessarily the best price because they simply compromise the mechanics of the machine in order to keep the price down. But other than that, I just say stick with a brand name you're comfortable with. I think, you know, Sony, Panasonic, Philips, and if you're a little higher end, maybe Denon. There's only two or three companies that actually make all the basic parts for these machines, and they sell the sub-assemblies to all the other companies. So there's not a lot of Pioneer makes its own, for example, because they were one of the literally the pioneers of this format. But generally, other than making sure it plays the system you want, or records in the system you want, I should say, they play everything. And now they're having drives with higher recording speeds, which isn't critical unless you're using a computer. But in any event, the prices have come down so much now, it's not as crucial. You know, last time I was on, the price was $600. Now you can get a system for $280, a complete recorder.
Great. Okay, thank you.
All right. We go to Chicago for the next caller. Line one. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little late to the show, so if I ask a question, I apologize. But whatever happened to the digital VCR? I heard it was coming out and then it disappeared. Is that better than the DVD player, or should we just avoid it altogether?
The digital VCR was simply a way of JVC trying to preserve its patents for VHS and make a little few more royalties off the VHS format. There's no reason ever to use tape again, basically. Yes, the digital VCR could record longer than a DVD. But other than that, I forget. I think it was they had a four-hour mode where the DVD is about 2 hours max. And
that's in digital, right?
Yeah. I mean, also a high-definition digital VCR, which is still around. You can still find it. But it really served no purpose. And there's no software made. Nobody's releasing movies for this, basically. I mean, JVC paid off a couple of studios to release some movies in digital VHS, high-definition.
You pretty much have to record your own stuff.
Yeah, but tape is obsolete. Tape is clumsy. Tape wears out. Tape has a whole bunch of, I mean, who wants to have a big clunky VHS cassette when they can have this nice slim DVD? It's easier to store. It's less subject to climatic variations.
Well, you know, I have a VCR and a DVD player, so I got the best of both worlds here.
Right, but there's no the digital VHS really never served a purpose, and I don't think you're going to see it in the future. It was something that JVC attempted just to save the format, but I don't think it's going to ever.
Okay, now one more thing. Well, two more actually, but then I'll get off. Do you think that the hard drive that you see on your box will replace the DVD recorder? You know, where they got a 100-hour hard drive on one of the recorders.
Well, no, they serve different purposes. You can't remove the media or the medium from the hard drive. That is, you can't record something on your hard drive and take it over to your friend's house and play it.
Well, you can send it to them over the internet, though, can you?
Well, not for long. Technically, that might be possible with conventional TV as it stands now. If you're recording an analog show and converting it to digital, yeah, you can send it over the internet, which is still kind of clumsy unless you have a really good broadband connection.
Well, I understand that the networks are worried about that.
First of all, most people don't understand that even when they have a cable modem or a broadband or DSL, the downstream speed is the high speed. Going upstream, if you're uploading material into the internet, can be very slow because that's why it's called asymmetrical DSL, because you have a high download speed and a very slow upload speed. So sending TV shows, which require a lot of bandwidth, to your friend's house is not very efficient.
Well, Rich, I'm going to make a prediction, and I want you to remember it. You can record it now. I predict that someday you'll be able to download material at the speed of light, and you'll have hard drives, personal video recorders, with 1,000 hours on the drive.
Well, I can certainly agree with the 1,000 hours because they are developing terabyte drives now that'll be out next year where you can already record 100 or 200 hours of low-quality video or medium-quality video. And as far as the speed of light, well, I wouldn't call it the speed of light, but someday we will have fiber optic broadband connections, which have equal speeds both upstream and downstream, and those will be about 4 to 5 times the speed we have today of broadband connections.
Okay, just one more, and then I'll get off. Which is better, the direct broadcast satellite or cable?
Well, at this point, I'd go with the satellite. The only advantage cable has is that it's not subject to weather. In very bad weather, the satellite can experience cloud fade from dense clouds. But in general, you have more variety on the satellite and more options, and there's a lot of more versatility in the satellite. Cable.
Well, congratulations to them for not allowing that union between DirecTV and Dish Network. I'm glad they stomped on that.
Well, for now at least. But the one thing cable also offers, of course, it's easier to get your local channels. Satellite does offer some local channels, but not all of them necessarily.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right. Other questions are welcome. Our guest this morning is consumer electronics writer Rich Warren. He's here occasionally on the show. We talk about these things. He writes a column for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. If you'd like to talk with him, you can just pick up the telephone and call 333-9455 and toll free 800-222-9455. Belgium, line number 2. Hello.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was going to ask a question about these LCD and plasma type televisions. I've heard, though I'm not exactly sure that it's factual, that some of these have very limited lives, not like the tube type TVs most people have now where they can turn them on and they can just go pretty much forever.
Well, the tube type TV, that's not true, because cathode ray tubes, a picture tube, does wear out. It's simply a big vacuum tube and it eventually does burn out.
But it lasts a long time, though, right?
Yeah. Well, plasma displays have the same problem. As they run hot, they use high voltages to create these cells of plasma gas that glow, and they have a life expectancy somewhat shorter than a cathode ray tube. LCDs, on the other hand, the only thing that ever burns out in LCD is the light bulbs that illuminate it, and those are usually user or at least technician replaceable, and they're not terribly expensive. I think $100 can replace the bulbs on most LCDs. So the LCD itself, a liquid crystal, has a very long lifespan, much longer than cathode ray tubes. But the plasma display has a limited lifespan, which is what I can't believe people are spending $15,000, $20,000 on these plasma displays. Some of them only have a lifespan of 5 or 6 years.
So your choice would be the LCD over the plasma?
Right. At the moment, the plasma can do a little better with motion, high-speed motion in a picture like a football hurtling through the air. It looks slightly better on a plasma than the LCD. There's a bit of a smear or a lag on the LCD, although they've pretty much reduce that to negligible levels on LCDs, but that is the one drawback of LCD is it doesn't change rapidly enough. The crystals don't change their polarity as fast as the picture may be moving. But that is being corrected very rapidly. And there's some, and also, of course, the viewing angle, the plasma has the same viewing angles as a cathode ray tube. The LCD has a somewhat narrower viewing angle, although they're, again, getting much wider than they used to be. And the contrast ratio, LCDs, the black is never as black as it is and a cathode ray tube at this point. But that's never bothered me, really. I had a friend who went out shopping, price no object, looking for the differences, and finally settled on an LCD projection, rear projection set, because he liked the picture so much.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, thanks. Here, the thing that basically we're talking about is, in televisions, I think what a lot of people want is, obviously, they would like to have a big screen. but the problem with so many of the big TVs is that because if they have a picture tube, essentially what you're getting is an enormous, huge box, take up a lot of space, very difficult to move. So the dream would be to have something that would be a flat panel. You could just set it on a little stand. You could hang on the wall. Of course, as you point out, you still got to have a wire connecting it to the program source. But that's what people are really, that's sort of the dream to have. And your choice is the LCD as opposed to the plasma. What are we now looking at the cost for an LCD for a good sized picture?
Well, let's see. The break size, the point where the prices really start to break is about 20 inches. 20 inches and below, LCDs have become very cost competitive. You can get a nice 21-inch widescreen LCD from Sharp for about $1,300, $1,200, somewhere around there, which is a pretty good price, much more than a cathode ray tube, but still compared to what it was 2 years ago. When you get up above 20, 21 inches, then the prices start to escalate, and you start talking about $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 for, you go up to a 40-inch LCD, which is roughly the biggest they make. and you're into it then for, you know, $6,000, $7,000, which again is the same range as plasma displays, which go up to $15,000, $20,000 for their 55, 60, 65 inch plasmas. However, the LCD has a lot of advantages. For one thing, it uses a lot less electricity. Plasma needs to get all those little cells of plasma heated up and ionized and so they glow, and that takes a lot of juice. So you have a big power supply and everything, and they generate heat because they're creating basically heat to get the plasma, the gas into the plasma state. So there's a lot of subtle disadvantages to plasma, and I just can't, they have great pictures. I've seen the pictures of these plasma sets, and yeah, they just really, oh, are they impressive. And also what most people don't realize is that you have these flat screens, but actually most of them don't have built-in tuners, and some of them don't even have built-in speakers. They come with a black box that sits on the floor or somewhere else that has the tuner and the electronics that drive this screen. And then you either have outboard speakers or you can buy speakers that hang on the screen, etc. So some of these prices don't even include the speakers, for example. That's another investment, depending on the company and the model.
Mm. Well, and you know, I have, like a lot of people, I'm sure you've gone over to Sears or, you know, wherever they got these big TVs and have been very impressed by the size and the picture of the quality, particularly when you have a high quality source. But, you know, I'm not paying $6,000 for a TV. I don't think I'm going to pay $1,000 for a TV. How long would we have to wait for the price to come down so it would be competitive now with cathode ray?
Well, I think LCD prices are falling more rapidly than plasma because they can, in fact, the problem with LCD is that if you have one bad pixel, they had to throw away the whole thing. Mm. But they are manufactured the same way the transistors are manufactured, basically, on big wafers. And now Sharp and Samsung and maybe one or two other companies have built huge new fabrication plants that can fabricate jumbo panels. They can either be cut in half and sold like as 20-inch sets or screens, or use the whole panel as a 40-inch. But the quality control has come up so there's fewer dead pixels. They can make huge panels at once very cheaply, and those prices are definitely going to come down. And I'd say within a year, you're going to start seeing these 20-inch LCDs for $600, not $1,200. And as you get larger, of course, you always have the problem of the one bad pixel. The larger the panel, the more chances, the more pixels, the picture elements. Mm-hmm. Basically, each picture element is comparable to a transistor, basically. A transistor fires a little liquid crystal and makes it do its thing. And so the more you have to put on a panel, the more chances you have a defective one. So there'll also be different grades. I mean, some companies may say, okay, we'll sell you a panel with two defective pixels, which you may or may not see, depending on where they are and how bad they are. But we'll sell you that one for $500. But if you want one we guarantee to be perfect, then it's going to cost you $1,000 because we have to throw away six to get to the perfect one. Hmm. But the quality compared to 5 years ago, I remember doing this show with you not so long ago. I was saying, well, the hang-on-the-wall TVs are just not here yet. They're not, right. They're not practical. Yeah. They're not going to happen because the price is so high. We were talking $15,000, $20,000 for an LCD set above 20 inches. And plasma was way out there. And now, I mean, even the plasma prices, you can get a decent plasma screen for about $5,000. In fact, I think RCA is making one for $3,000. But then you're down to the size of a regular cathode ray tube set. You know, you're talking about 35-inch, 36-inch plasma, which, you know, I love the big widescreen. And while we're talking about it, do at this point, if you're going to buy a new TV, buy a widescreen TV. Whether or not you want HD, high definition, that's your decision. That adds cost, but definitely get the widescreen. So at least if you don't enjoy the higher definition, you can at least see the picture in its natural aspect ratio that's going to be transmitted. I mean, if you watch Channel 12, a lot of the shows have black bands at the top and bottom now if you're watching a conventional TV because they're already framed in that 16:9 aspect ratio.
Like a movie.
Yeah, like a movie. Right, exactly. So whatever you do, get a widescreen TV at this point. Don't settle for the square 4:3 aspect ratio because you're buying an obsolete TV.
Okay, we have some other folks here. We got another cell phone caller. We'll go there, line two. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to make a comment. At some point, you'll probably want to cut me off. But both your guests and your comments about you can't believe that anybody would spend so much money for a plasma TV is really ignorant. Sorry. But basically, there seems to be a complete lack of understanding of what's going on, both in terms of plasma and LCD. So let me give you a little bit of explanation as to what's going on. First of all, if you want a TV that's more than 40 inches wide, you cannot get an LCD, and you have to get a plasma. If you do get a TV that's less, than, say, 30 inches, there's almost no reason whatsoever to be spending thousands of dollars for either of those. CRTs are still a superior form of television. If you want to go to bigger sets, then you have to consider the possibility of getting a front projection TV, if your wife will let you get one. I'm very surprised myself that more people aren't going out and buying these $2,000 DLP and LCD projectors, which are being used in business all the time, and just putting it on their wall. Those are actually pretty good quality pictures, and $2,000 is really not a lot of money. If you're going to spend a lot of money on a plasma TV, and $7,000 or $8,000 isn't unreasonable for 40 inches or more, you're getting much more than simply a big TV. They're doing a lot to the picture. They're doing what's called a 3-2 pull down. You have to be careful about one of the things you see when you go into Good Vibes, or excuse me, when you go into Best Buy or Circuit City, are these TVs that simply have squashed and the picture vertically and stretched it out horizontally. And that's absolutely terrible. People, things look ugly on those screens. You're going to want to get a TV that, for example, keeps the center completely normal looking and stretches out on the sides. You're also going to have to be aware of what it means to have a 4-3 pull down and stretching it. There's many things that go into it. I have two home theaters myself, and my recommendation to people is that if you're going to stay below 30 inches, go and buy a nice CRT and spend your money on a stereo with a good subwoofer if you want that sort of experience. When you're talking about the theatrical experience in your home, what you have to talk about is a screen and your distance from the screen, such that basically you don't focus in on the screen, but the screen comes out towards you. That's really part of the difference between home theater and television. And if you're going to go that route, then you need an audio system, which is surround sound with a subwoofer. Subwoofers are really important because that pulls you into the screen. But there's a lot that goes into it, and unfortunately, you cannot go to the standard sellers of projection TVs or, plasma and LCD. They really don't know enough to really help you. So I recommend you try to find someone who specializes in these the systems. And the last thing I would say, because I know I've taken up way too much time, is that whatever you've got, you're going to have spent too much money 6 months down the line, and you're always going to have buyer's regret, as you do if you're ever on the front end of technology, and you have to make those decisions as to when you're going to jump in. And as one of the things you're going to want to consider is, do you want to dedicate a room, or do you want to live in the room as well as use it to watch your picture? So that's it, and sorry, but I've got to go watch a movie right now. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, Rich, comments?
Well, I agree with most of everything that caller said. There's so much to cover here that I didn't get to. Of course you need a good sound system. Yes, if you're going to watch movies, subwoofers are absolutely critical, a good subwoofer. Front projectors are a great bargain, but most people don't want them hanging from their ceiling, and they're, at least now with the LCD and DLP front projectors, you don't have the convergence issues. One of the reasons I never recommended front projectors when we had cathode ray tube versions, which are, there's still some out there, they're very high quality, $7,000-$8,000, but you need to converge them properly, and convergence can drift. But now with the new solid state front projectors, they're much better. And yes, it's a very good bargain for $2,000 if you want to go that route. And the only thing I disagree with is that to this person, $7,000 or $8,000 isn't expensive for a TV. Well, I don't know what the demographics are of the listeners of Focus 580, but I think most of us are pretty middle class, and most of us can't entirely justify going out and spending $8,000 on a TV set. I'd rather spend $4,000 on the TV and get a good sound system with it than go out and spend $8,000 on a screen. And you can go, in my former home theater, I spent $1,000 just on the physical screen itself that went on the projection TV set. Daylight in Indiana makes these high-grade screens that you can replace the factory screen with a specialized high-grade screen, you get a much better picture. As he said, the screen should come out to you. You shouldn't see the pixels, etc. Of course, high-definition TV will solve a lot of that problem. There are so many intricacies that this listener brought up that I can't even go into here because it would take another 2 hours. And I don't think that the people who are expecting the noontime features would enjoy hearing all the details. But he had a lot of really good points. The only thing I disagree with is when you're spending a lot of money, where you're going to go with that money, and yeah. Who has the money to spend. I also would like to say one thing, and he talked about the buyer's remorse and early adopters. I would wait, and the stores are going to hate me for this, but I would wait another 3 months before buying a high-definition television. The FCC back in September made a ruling that everybody sort of agreed upon about how, because of this copy protection, one of our early listeners referred to being able to send stuff down the Internet, well, they've got a way now to block that. But it hasn't been fully implemented, and the manufacturers aren't in 100% agreement on how this FCC decision is going to be implemented. In fact, some existing HDTVs may be obsolete because of it, which is a disgusting thought, at least as far as not being able to you'll be able to have broadcast pictures probably, but other than that, you're going to have problems. So I would wait another 3 months, let the dust settle. I'm going to CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, in a few weeks to see where it's all going to come out, because the manufacturers are going to make their statements basically there for the coming year. And I'm not telling people not to get a set, but I would wait 3 months and let the dust settle on this FCC decision, because there's still a lot of controversy in industry about exactly how this protocol that they've agreed on that's going to prevent copying is going to be implemented. And yes, they are going to make it impossible. They may make it impossible to copy TV shows. So that's something that is still up in the air, and it seems to be satisfied and settled, but I'm a little concerned. Also, one other thing I want to address that this listener addressed. One of my editors of the News Gazette went out looking at HDTVs and plasma screens at the so-called big box stores, and he reported back to me. He said, quality was terrible. The lighting was terrible. The sales help knew nothing about what they were selling. If you're going to spend this kind of money on a TV, go to a specialist. Champagne has 3 or 4 specialty dealers who specialize in this. And you're likely to get much better sales help, much better viewing conditions. A small store can afford to spend the time tweaking its 2 or 3 display models rather than the 15 display models that a big store has. You may not see as much in one store, but you're going to get better service and better quality. And I think these big box stores are actually doing a disservice to HDTV by setting up this huge wall of HDTVs, or the whole line of them, maybe 10 in a row, and I've been to all the stores in town, and then not adjusting them properly, not giving them a proper signal. Some of them are not even showing HD pictures, which just amazes me. At least at one of the specialty dealers, they have a satellite dish feeding the Dish Network HD feed into the TV. Some of these stores are just simply carrying, you know, regular DVD movies on their HD sets. That's not HD. And so, you know, be careful where you buy, because you don't see the full potential of this system going to one of the big box stores. I'm sorry, I'll probably get, you know, shot at when I leave here, but that's my strong opinion.
Rich Warren is our guest. He writes about consumer electronics for the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. He's written for some of the other national publications on the subject, and occasionally he's here. We talk about what's new in the way of audio, video particularly. We have some callers here. Some of them have been very patient, so we'll go next to Homer. That's the next person in line on line 3. Hello.
Well, hello.
Yes.
Listening to the last caller, he sort of brought up the question I was calling about, and I've learned a lot. I've been thinking about getting a new TV, and a number of years ago I told myself I wouldn't buy a new TV unless it was an HDTV, although I sort of broke that rule to get a little portable, or another TV to make a small one, a portable one, have it over a workbench of all places. But front projection LCD was what I was going to call about. Or LCD, or is it DLP? Is that
yeah.
the sort of a mirror-based system?
Yeah, little micro mirrors, little motors. That,
right.
Yeah.
Well, the question I'd have about that is the feasibility. I'm a bachelor, so I don't have to worry about what somebody thinks, at least at this point, of how I would like to mount it. And it wouldn't be for, quote, TV watching. It'd be for movies, for HDTV, for sporting events in HDTV, where I can pull down some blinds and sort of darken the room. I don't want to be having to trip over the coffee table dark, but not full brightness with the lights on. How do I go, about configuring this system? One of the things I noticed on the cable box is it had a HDTV plug out. Now, I don't know if that would actually work into one of these high-definition TV-ready projectors, but I'd like to hear a little more, some details on that.
Okay, you've asked some really great questions, and it's a little tricky to answer. First of all, if you have Insight Cable, which is a company serving Champaign-Urbana, they do offer true HD. So you can get about 9 channels of HD from Insight. Mediacom is not offering HD on its digital system, so those of folks who live out of Mahomet and Gibson City are out of luck.
And that'd be WILL as well?
Well, eventually. The TV...
programming's available?
I think they will. It's very vague at this point because of these copy protection issues and the fact that the bandwidth, etc., but they probably will, in fact, offer that. There's a divide between DLP, digital light processing, and LCD. Digital light processing may give you a slightly better picture, but it's a much more complex system, and it has all these micro mirrors and micro motors that turn the mirrors to create, it's like a little color wheel. In some ways, it's very much like a very high-tech version of the original CBS color TV system in 1951 or 52, which had this big color wheel that went around the front of your TV set at a certain speed, synced to the frames that were appearing on the TV, giving you color. And, of course, that didn't work out too well, and they eventually went with the RCA system, which was all electronic. I'm not saying that the DLP system is primitive by any. It's a very good system, but it does involve a lot of mechanical, electromechanical parts. LCD is a lot simpler. It may not give you quite the picture quality of the DLP, but it's hassle and trouble free. Once it works, all you have to do is replace the light source every year. You'll have to go out and spend $50 or $100 on light bulbs that make the thing bright. I have seen some of the Sharp HD LCD projectors, and they are fabulous. There are some terrific units out there now by various companies. I mean, Sharp is one of the leaders because they've developed the panels themselves. But basically, they use 3 LCD panels, and they just create a fabulous picture, and you don't have to converge them. So they're just rock solid, and you can get some great performance, but you are going to pay for a good HD projector. The previous caller was talking about a $2,000 projector. That's if you want good quality conventional TV. If you want really great HD, you're going to spend $5,000 or $6,000 on one of these projectors, but you're going to get a great picture. And yeah, there's a front projector is definitely one of the ways to go, and you get a very large picture. And you also want to spend some money on a screen, which will add another $1,000 or $2,000 to it if you want a really good screen. But $1,000 for a screen rather than just using a wall or a bed sheet, because the screen makes a big difference in the quality of the picture. But, boy, you can get some terrific results these days.
Well, the $4,000 or $5,000 might be more than I wish to spend, even on a car. But the around two is my ballpark. For when I say, okay, here is a very nice system, something that would, allow me to have that home theater experience without having to break the bank, because if I'm, $5,000, $6,000, $10,000, I might as well go to the theater.
Right, and now that the art theater is owned by a company that values high quality, you can see some really incredible movies there. Anyway, there are some good rear screen projection sets in the $2,000 price range that will give you HD, very good sets, and large screen, we're talking 55 inches, etc.
Well, do you see the price of the front projection dropping slowly over time, maybe not as rapidly?
Oh, yeah, I see. I mean, I suggest you, I may not even be up to speed on all the front projectors that are available in the price range. I suggest going out and looking, going to the local specialty dealers and asking what is available in that price range, and they might even have some in the store. In fact, I saw one at Good Vibes that was this ultra-miniature one that was, I'm trying to figure what I can tell you how big it was, but it was really tiny, I mean, and it just sat there and gave great pictures.
I got two more questions, then I'll go. Of course, one is, where I'd imagine mounting this would be up off the ceiling, but they have the adjustment, because it becomes, not a parallelogram, but
it's called keystoning, yeah.
And you can adjust all that out.
Right.
The other thing is, how do I connect the projector box to the cable and the you know, DVD players and so forth and so on.
Through a lot of wires. you'll either have to run them along the ceiling and down the back wall.
That's not the question. Is there so much as a, you know, are they fairly pretty much plug and play, you know, as long as I run all the wires to the right thing?
Yes.
Yes. I don't need to worry about having, I mean, I might need a separate tuner, of course.
Right.
Although it looks like the cable box will provide that.
It should. You want to check? Yeah, you want to check the cable company and make sure, but that should work.
They'll charge me more to give me one.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I don't have to buy one.
Right.
Yeah, I pay for it one way or the other. Well, I appreciate this. Your service, where you're coming out and giving us this service every few months or every month.
All right.
I try to listen in whenever I hear.
Well, great. Well, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you.
Well, let's go on here. We got one more, at least, a caller here in Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead.
Is this two?
Yes, sir.
I agree with the gentleman. You're doing a great job helping us. I would like to write a biography because at our church we had a prayer for this lovely country of ours in gratitude for the many blessings we enjoy in this land and its good people. And when my parents died when I was 16, I met a lot of good American people that helped me. I would like a biography of these people that I remember, and but I can't see too well and hear fairly well. Would you recommend a good voice recorder to do a history of great people, mostly teachers, locally? I'm in Urbana. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Trouble is that the old-fashioned
Can you talk a little louder?
The old-fashioned cassette recorders are disappearing rapidly. You want something that records onto tape, so you have an archival medium. You don't want to use one of the new solid-state MP3 kind of recorders, because then if you press the wrong button, it evaporates. It's lost, and you don't want to take that risk. I suggest you find a good old-fashioned, decent-quality cassette recorder.
Cassette recorder.
Yeah, they've been around for years, and they're disappearing because they're not in anymore. It's not the.
Let me write that down, please. Cassette recorder. And are they available almost anywhere?
They used to be. I haven't seen one. They're not as common as they once were, but I suggest you try to find one, because I think for your uses, a good quality cassette recorder would be the best choice.
What is your name, please?
My name is Rich.
Rich? Mr. Rich, I'm a retired professor from here. I'd like to write this down if I could, but I'm no genius at it. Recorder. Anything else you want to tell me to do a good job?
Well, you might want to buy a decent microphone to go with your cassette recorder. That should be only about another $20
or $30. So you get a recorder and a mic.
Right.
Oh, how about places to buy them?
I honestly don't know who's selling them anymore these days. You may have to go into the big stores on North Prospect to see if they still have them. It's kind of an obsolete product, so it's very hard to find, and I'm not sure who still has them. You could even try Radio Shack, but...
Radio Shop.
Shack.
Shack, the local one.
They're all over, yes.
May I? Thank you.
Okay. Right. Well, thank you very much. We'll see when we get real quick. One more caller here, also in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Yes. Can you recommend anyone who would repair one of those recorders? I have one that the belt went out, and I think that's all that's wrong with it.
Well, you know, it's funny because David used to have a fellow on the show regularly who did repairs, and he actually quit because you can't repair most of this stuff anymore. It's too expensive, and so he gave up. And I see that there are so few local repair shops, I can't even recommend one. Your best bet would be to go into a store that has a service department and ask if they won't fix it, who can they recommend? I know that, you know, I probably assume Champagne Audio has a service department, Good Vibes has one,
Glenpoor
definitely specializes in service, and in fact they were famous for their service when they were in the TV dealership business. So you'll have to just find out if they will service an outside person if you didn't buy it from them, and if not, there may still be one or two people who, you know, work in their basement in their spare time who do these sort of things. But basically, and this is the sad part about our whole industry, is that everything is not only plug and play, but plug and throw away, or unplug and throw away, as the case may be. And so it's really hard to get stuff fixed these days.
Yeah, it's a shame because some of those older machines were actually quite good.
Absolutely. There are some JVC VCRs and some old Sony VCRs that are better than anything you can buy today. And but they're ready for the dust heap because you can't even buy the belts or the replacement parts for them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
All right, thanks. Just real quick, for home home video recording, the way that now most people use their VCR to record some program they want to watch later, that's going away. We're going to digital recording. So what we're going to have is something that's like a hard drive in the computer. And there are now systems out there that people probably have heard of. There's TiVo
and Replay.
And now cable companies, I think, are smart enough to know they're going to offer the same thing.
And the satellite companies have it built in their boxes too, in their receivers.
Is there any reason why you couldn't build that into a television set?
Absolutely not, and that's being considered. In fact, if you build a TV, it even reduces the chance of tampering. They don't want people getting into those boxes and tampering with them for various copyright reasons. So I think I'll be seeing TVs this January which have them built in. It's so small and so inexpensive now to do it. If you combine some of the circuitry with the TV, you've got it made. So it's a great idea to put it in the TV at $100 to the cost of the TV, and away you go.
Hmm. So you think that is likely? That's
absolutely.
TV manufacturers will start to offer that as a feature in the television. Otherwise, outboard devices that do that are easily available now?
$200, and they record for 50 hours now, and you pay your monthly fee for the electronic program guide that programs them, and it's such a bargain, really, compared to, no more, you know, you don't tell the VCR you want to record a program at 6 o'clock on Sunday. For example, I like 60 Minutes, but the football game always runs over on Sundays, and 60 Minutes may start anytime between 6 and 7. These devices are smart enough to know when the football game ends and start recording when 60 Minutes begins. So they keep track of those things electronically and send out the signal. So it's a great improvement over the VCR.
Well, I thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. You can look for Rich's column in the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. And there's a little show he does called The Midnight Special, Saturdays here on AM 580.
At 2 o'clock. And we're having the 50th anniversary of the Midnight Special celebration on New Year's Eve. It's going to be carried on FM at 90.9, starting, I think, at 10 or 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So.
All right, tune in for that. All right, thank you very much.